Lord Jesus, we thank You, we praise You. We ask, Father, that You would continue to just minister unto us, that our hearts would be open, Lord, to what You'd want to speak to us. I pray that we would walk away this morning reminded and encouraged of how truly blessed we are because of You. Because You sent Your one and only Son. That we're a redeemed people, we're a saved people, and we have an incredible inheritance ahead of us. So Lord, whatever we may be dealing with or in our journey here, I pray we'd be encouraged of all we have in You. So I thank You, Lord Jesus, and I praise You. Amen. Guys, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. We'll be in verses 9 through 12, but I'm going to go ahead and read, start at verse 3 and read down to 12 to kind of help us get our bearings on what the Lord's just been encouraging us in. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering to the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look unto. Remember, Peter is encouraging Christians who are being persecuted for following Jesus. He informed them, "You're pilgrims, you're strangers in this world. You've been elected by the foreknowledge of God, sanctified in the Spirit. Christ's blood's been applied to your lives." And we've learned quite a bit about who has invited us on this journey. We've learned that it is because of His abundant mercy that we are saved. See, I pray what we get and what we learn as we are making our way through this chapter, and it's something we as Christians miss, I believe, on a regular basis because we get so focused in the now that we forget how blessed we are because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We walk around a lot of times with our faces down and we're a little bombarded by what we see in the world, by what we hear going on in the world, and we forget that we are pilgrims, we are sojourners, we have this inheritance that is incorruptible, it doesn't fade away, it's kept. We're a kept people by God. We forget that part of the journey. I mean, He was up front with us from the beginning. He said, "Hey, you're going to have some trials." And we forget the purpose of trials and rejoicing in trials is that these trials are refining our faith and purifying our faith. That the trials that we go through a lot of times are custom fit for just who we are. That the Lord is using those things for greater glory, that we're being outfitted in a sense and getting prepared for heaven. See, we're learning all kinds of incredible things about God. This is what I love about God's Word. It's not just about learning stuff. It's about learning about the One who authored this book and getting to know Him and being encouraged by Him. We should realize that we are such an incredible, blessed people. This is not our home. You know, we're excited at the prospect of, of what we're going to be doing with the new home that we're going to be moving out in the country and all this other stuff. I don't like living in the city, by the way. I mean, I spent the past 10 years living in the city and absolutely hated it. I don't like it because I'm a country boy. I grew up in the country. I like being out in the country. But that's not our number one gig here. Praise be to God that He's allowing us to do this, but really at the end of the day, I mean, we're here for one purpose only. We're sojourning. We're here on mission for the Lord, all of us as Christians. And it's easy to get distracted by the things of the world and the trappings of the world and forget about all we have in our Lord Jesus. We learn that the genuineness of our faith is much more precious than gold. We learn that genuine faith results in praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. And we also learn that one of the benefits of trials is the reality of the inexpressible joy that we can have in the midst because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy with Jesus in spite of the circumstantial terrain we might be trekking through on our pilgrim's journey. So we need to be encouraged. Spurgeon said this once, "He has taken off some of the coarsest surface, but He will polish you yet to an exceeding beauty. I very believe if we could see ourselves as we shall be, it would make us laugh for very joy." Think about how temporal we are. Think about how fast time has already flown by. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. I'm 46 years old, heading to 47 rapidly. I don't get that. It just seems like yesterday I was your guy's age. But that's not the case anymore. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Now let's look at verse 9. Remember, we're a kept people, kept by God in our sojourn here. Listen to what He says in verse 9. He says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now Peter deals with the present outcome of our faith. It's the salvation of our soul. The salvation of the body, of course, is in a future sense, our own personal resurrection. It'll take place when Christ comes back for His saints. But as soon as we trust Christ by faith, we receive the salvation of our souls. So it's saved for, at a time, for a new birth, right? Friends, and I pray we never get fat. Never get bored with the fact that as soon as we have placed saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. I want to ask you a question. How excited would you be if you were drowning? Has anyone nearly ever drowned, by the way? I did. I mean, I went swimming in Lake Cypress Springs in blue jean pants. Dumb move. Because what happens with jeans? They get heavy. They weight you down. And I can remember being saved, but I can also remember coming to that thought as I was sinking and there was nothing I could do about it. I was like, I'm about to drown. Luckily, I was swimming with a friend of mine and he saved me. I'm forever thankful for that friend that saved me. I remember the day when he saved me. It's still very vivid in my mind. What about the day you got saved? That you placed saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. We read in Romans 10, 9 through 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now here's the big one. Have we ever really sat and thought about what we've been saved from? You know, I talked about drowning and being remembering being saved from drowning. And how I'm ecstatic the fact that I'm still here because of that. Now, have you ever stopped to think truly what you have been saved from? Well, first is the curse of sin. Think about that for a minute. The Bible says this in Romans 5, 12 through 17. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had sinned according to the likeness of transgression of Adam, who's a type of him to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for it's by one man's offense many died, but much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. What about this? God's wrath to come. being saved from that. We read in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and righteousness. We read this in John 3:36. John warned that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Isaiah 26:11, there's a day coming when God will come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose bloodshed on it, and no more will cover its slain. And then there's Ezekiel 25:17, and then there's Matthew 10:28 that says, that is why we should not fear those who can kill the body, who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body. You're safe from the wrath of God. See, we don't think about these things enough. Truly, how blessed we're. See, it's hard to believe and fasten your heart upon how blessed you are unless you truly understand what you've been saved from. And then, of course, there's the big one, hell. There's quite a few verses in hell, and I'll just share one, and I just shared it a while ago. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell's a torment for the lost and the unsaved. Because everyone is sin, no one deserves to live really with a holy and righteous Heavenly Father. We read this in Romans 3:23, that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Here's a few facts about hell, by the way, because we kind of got to know a little bit about this place to realize we're saved from this place, so therefore we're truly blessed. The torment's going to be physical. We read Luke 16:24, and he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish and in flame. Physical torment. Who likes physical pain? I don't really like that much. You know, that's what keeps most folks from exercising, because there's some physical pain involved if you're going to exercise. For some people, that's what keeps people from working. There's some physical pain involved in it. If you're like me, I don't go to the doctor for a checkup, because I'm thinking they're going to find something wrong with someone my age. I'm not going. It's kind of like if it's broke, don't fix it. Don't tinker with it. You got any old high school injuries? I had my shoulder dislocated when I was in high school. It's painful now. I mean, Stephen can't even lift his shoulder. I don't know why he's still playing tennis, by the way. That didn't make sense to me. If you're in intense physical pain, let me ask you a question. If you have to go to the emergency room, you got a broke arm, or you got something, do you not like morphine at that point in time? Now imagine what it would be like to be eternally separated from God in hell and physically tormented. Think about it. We also read the torment will be mental. Luke 16:25, and he goes on to say, and besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from here to us. Sad. That's why when you read certain evangelists, when you read like D.L. Moody, I shared before, that he wept at the fact when he contemplated people that were walking up and down the street, where they were going, where they were going to reside. We also read the torment will be spiritual. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. This is evidence of a righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. You're saved. Now, knowing the consequences of being unsaved, what we should not do as Christians is, well, I got mine, I'm out. Knowing that you have been given the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes us want to share the truth. That makes us want to share Jesus with people. See, he says this, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We ought to be ecstatic. Spurgeon said this, sinners in hell are not the fools they were on earth. In hell, they do not laugh at the everlasting burnings. In the pit, they do not despise the words, eternal fire, the worm that never dies. And when it's gnawing, it gnaws out all the jokes and laughter. You may despise God now and despise me for what I say, but death will change your notes. Based on all that was shared and that we've been saved from, if we've placed our trust in Jesus, I pray we would be in awe next time we read verse 3 of chapter 1, 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. To be born again is to have real hope. I see a lot of people wigging out over what they see going on in this country alone. And yeah, in some instances, yeah, we should be wigging out. But we should also be in the understanding mode that Jesus could come back at any moment, at any time, and I gotta share the good news. We gotta look at stuff through a biblical viewfinder by what we see. We're only here for a brief amount of time, folks. And you know what? Peter was overly blessed with the fact of receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, we've received the ultimate gift from Jesus, the salvation of our souls. I read this somewhere once. The reality of a loving God is loving Him like He's a superhero who actually saved you from stuff rather than Santa Claus who merely gave you some stuff. I'm saved. When was the last time? Now you live in Texas, so you kind of live in the Bible Belt, okay, where you're familiar with the gospel message. But let me ask you a question nonetheless. When have you ever sat down and just been in awe and thought and contemplated of the amount of grace that has been poured upon our life? I'm a redeemed individual. I'm born again. I'm saved. Now let's make our way through verses 10 and 12. See, we're getting this. We got to get this. We need to understand as Christians how truly blessed we are, because it's gonna help you make it through the rough and tough stuff in life. Because Peter's already been straight up. He says, "Hey, look, I want you, if need be, little while, trials are gonna come your way. It's part of the journey. It's part of the pilgrimage. We're being outfitted for heaven." We might be asking, why do we spend so much time in verse 9? Well, we needed to get refreshed in how blessed we are in the fact we were born on the other side of Calvary. See, the salvation we enjoy now, the folks who lived before Calvary, those who the Lord used to point to a Messiah, would have relished to be in the position that we are now. See, Peter goes on and he says, "Of this salvation prophets inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into." Old school prophets. "Of this salvation, prophets inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." It's important for Peter and the other New Testament writers, as the Lord was using them, to demonstrate that the teaching that they were sharing is not flighty, but that it was testified beforehand by the prophets. But let's understand something here. Peter's not just trying to convince them with truth. Peter is encouraging them in truth. The understanding of the salvation the prophets have inquired, they searched out carefully, that would have made that salvation much more enjoyed. Much greater in the mind of the folks Peter is writing to, who's afflicted for their present sufferings because they're following Jesus. They would have been encouraged, no doubt. You can't help but be encouraged. to think about the blessed, to think about the fact that you were born this side of Calvary. That those first century Christians born on this side of Calvary. Because we read here, prophets who prophesied of what was to come, they searched. They would have relished to live in this fact. Let's understand, Peter's not trying to prove. He's just sharing the truth. Of this salvation we have acquired and searched carefully would have made that salvation that much more enjoyed. They would have been encouraged, no doubt. See, it's encouraging to know this, that God always has a plan. And His ultimate plan was salvation. And the ultimate plan of salvation worked out just like He wanted it to. Corson said this, what you're experiencing, Peter says, is something by which the prophets were intrigued and interested in, but couldn't get a handle on it. You see, the prophets wrote about things they just couldn't figure out. They saw the glory in Psalm 2. However, they also saw the suffering of Isaiah in 53. They saw the triumph on Mount Olives when the returning Messiah would stand, but they also saw the blood of Mount Calvary upon which the Messiah died. How can it be, they would have wondered, that He was despised, rejected, and smitten, suffering, yet also ruling and reigning? This doesn't make sense. They saw the Mount Calvary, they saw the Mount of Olives, but they didn't see was the valley between the two, a valley of about 2,000 years. They didn't understand that they were riding of two comings, that Messiah would come as a suffering Savior before returning as a conquering King. You see how blessed we are. These guys were ministering unto us, and they were encouraged by that. But you know what? They weren't given the full detail of exactly how this was all going to transpire. And here's a thought for us. See, the prophets by God's grace saw ahead that the glory that would come, but they didn't have all the information. Yet they inquired and searched carefully. Here's the point. We have the full canon of Scripture, the Bible. And we've been graced with the Holy Spirit to help us understand the Bible. And the big thing that's coming to me is, are we inquiring and are we searching? Just the morning we soaked in verse 9 about this great self. Do you know what drives me nuts is when I hear someone tell me this? Well, I've already read all the Bible. Really? Yeah, I've already read that book, like it's Moby Dick or Oliver Twist or, you know, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. I've read that. I know the story. Really? You're not, look like you're really impacted by the story. These prophets, they searched and they inquired. They were in the mode of, man, I want to comprehend what's going on here. You know, we just hung out in verse 9 for a great bit of time, just thinking about the end of our faith as the salvation of our souls. And then we started asking our questions. Well, what have we been saved from? Then we just looked at Scripture and God revealed a few things from us. And I pray we were encouraged by it. If indeed we are saved. I love to read the Psalms. These are not just men that the Lord chose to use. These are men that meditated upon the Lord and draw near unto the Lord. Matter of fact, Psalm 119 is one of my favorite. We read in verse 89 and 93, "Forever, O Lord, Your word settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generation. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances. For all are Your servants. Unless Your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget Your precepts, for by them You've given me life." Are we searching? Are we inquiring? You know, one of the saddest things is we live in a country where we have so much access to information. How many Bibles do you have in your house? I mean, you can just go anywhere and get a Bible. You go to the dollar store and get a Bible. Now, the print's about like this. I mean, it's a strain for me. But you can get a Bible relatively cheap. What about online? Come on. You realize how blessed we are and how many incredible teachers that have gone before us and pastors that have gone before us. And yet, do we not, does not the body of Christ in America look a little lethargic? I think Peter would have been blown away by what he saw, by what he would see today. It's like, are you serious? See, sometimes information doesn't necessarily lead to transformation. What leads to transformation is beholding the glory of God as we look at Scripture. Oh, I've already read the Bible. I can remember one time when I was at work, and as you guys know, I was a machinist vocationally, CNC machinist, so I got to read quite a bit as my machine was running and all this other stuff. And my brother worked with me a long time. And I would kind of get on his nerves. He would come in, I'd be reading my Bible, and he would be standing there waiting for me to acknowledge he was there. Now, part of me was messing with it. Okay, I'm not going to lie. And he said, you know, that's rude when someone comes up to talk to you and this and that. I said, well, I'm already having a conversation. Did you ever think it was rude you're coming up and bothering me as I'm having a conversation? Well, when I stop having the conversation, and then we can talk. And he said, how many times are you going to read that? I don't plan on stop reading it. Because I'm getting to know the author of this book. He's revealing things to me about himself. It's encouraging me in my walk. There's so much that the prophets did not fully understand, but yet we read in verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Searching what? Well, the identity and the person who would appear as the Messiah. Manner of time. They didn't know the time of his appearance. They were inspired by the Spirit of God to foretell the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. They didn't understand that these two events would be separated by maybe 2,000 years. As often pictured, they saw two mountain peaks. Okay, they look in here, they see Calvary, and then they see here, but they didn't see everything. Question, what are we searching in this life? Peter's encouraging a group of folks and how blessed they are being born, and not that, but also born again on this side of Calvary. He's letting these Christians know the blessings you've received, the prophets before had longed to fully understand and see these things. They searched it! Friends, there's so much peace to be had in the Scriptures. If you're spending all your time watching Fox News, you're wasting your time, man. It's going to keep you upset. And that's the truth. If you're on Facebook and you're spending all your time reading all these articles that people like to post, and then stop. You're going to be discouraged. You're not going to be encouraged. That's a fact. That's how it affects me. That's why I'm not. If you're wigged out about what's going on in the Middle East, study the Scriptures. Be encouraged, because you know what? God's plan is just coming to fruition. Did you ever stop to think of this? I mean, this. You want to talk about how blessed we are being on this side of Calvary? Because that's what we're talking about. In regards to the church age, that we could be living in the times that it's coming to a close. Meaning Jesus could be coming back at any moment at any time. Now, how encouraging would it be to be raptured up out of here like that? Instead of going through the rigmarole of just dying a physical death. That Josh, you guys could be getting ready to go to Laterno, start your semester, and then all of a sudden, all those pressures and all those thoughts about everything you're going to have to study, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. You just raptured out of here. Are you going to be bummed out you didn't get to finish your semester? Come on now. No, probably not. Now, you older folks are in your 40s. Are you going to really be bummed out leaving this old ragged piece of junk body that's wearing out? No. Why are we not acting like we're blessed? Nothing drives me more insane is when hey, tell me about your salvation experience. Oh, I got saved. Are you sure? Really? I mean, Peter's at the end of his run here, by the way. Does he look like he's really bored with Jesus? No. Uh-uh. He's enamored. He's enamored by what the Scriptures have revealed to him. He's enamored by the fact that he walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings is to search out the matter." To be in the Scriptures and to look. One Puritan said this, "If you wish to know God, you must know His Word. If you wish to perceive His power, you must see how it worketh by His Word. If you wish to know His purpose before it actually brought to pass, you can only discover it by His Word." Think about it. Now verse 12, it just keeps on getting better. He goes on to say to this, in speaking of the prophets, he says, "To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering these things. The prophets understood they were ministering to people beyond themselves as well as people in their own day. To them, the Spirit of God mysteriously revealed that there were serving generations yet unborn. Us. Us. While the prophets' word had meaning for their generation, they were aware that the full meaning would be declared later on down the road. Of course, this raises a question. Were not the old prophets familiar with the truth of justification? Was it that they did not understand about salvation? In a sense, did they serve us rather than themselves? It's a question to ask. One scholar said this, "The fullness of God's grace could not appear till Christ came. God could and did save sinners and take them to heaven, even as He did Enoch before, but union with Christ and all that such union implies could not be experienced until Christ died and rose again. Oh, how God delights to heap honor upon His Son." See, guys, did anybody ever run in a relay race? There's a few people that did. Good for you. I did, you know. I mean, we're talking maybe PE, fourth, fifth grade field day, okay? Yeah, you're laughing. Okay, there you go. I want you to picture these prophets as carrying a baton and running a certain leg of the race, okay? They ran it, and then the prophecy of the Messiah came. And the prophecy of the Messiah on a cross happens. Jesus' resurrection happened. Jesus' ascension happened. We've been handed a baton. We need to be running our race. Because it goes on to say, "which now have been reported to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." All this stuff was veiled until what? The day of Pentecost. And these men were empowered to do what God called them to do. And those guys, really, the Lord used those guys to turn the known world upside down. Everybody in this room has been given a sphere of influence by the Lord. I can't be where you're at. You're not going to be where I'm at in the course of the day unless you're hanging out with me. Are you running your leg of the race? We've been handed a baton. And I pray that we would not be the group of folks in the body of Christ in a blessed country that just wants to roll over and say, "well, we're just going to hang out till Jesus comes back." That we'd be intentional with what we know. Because there's a certain responsibility if you're going through the Scriptures to do something with it. Period. We're still running this leg of the race, telling folks about Jesus, sharing the gospel with the lost world. And one more thing to consider about the gospel, how blessed we are to be able to run this last leg of the race. One more thing. Things which angels desire to look into, if you want to talk about blessings. You guys probably think angels are pretty cool. They are pretty cool when you read about them in Scripture. They're pretty powerful beings when you read about them in Scripture. But one of the privileges of believers in this age is seen in not only that we understand clearly what was veiled by the prophets, but also in the fact that angels desire to look into the truths of salvation. Angels have a big time place in the New Testament and in the Old. They're mentioned at the birth of Christ, temptation, Gethsemane, His resurrection. But as far as Scripture reveals, there's no redemption for fallen angels, by the way. Christ did not come to intervene on their behalf, but on the descendants of Abraham. We read in Hebrews 2:16, "For He indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham." The church is an object lesson for angels. There's something happening here. Setting forth the manifold wisdom of God. We read in Ephesians 3:8-10, it says, "To me who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see that it is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places." Angels desire. I mean, did you ever think an angel would be interested in what's going on? And you, just you personally. Looking at God's plan for redemption. Angels watch how we live this life, by the way. Paul would write this to the church at Corinth, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last and men condemned to death, for we've been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." There's something greater going on with your life than just your job. Your job is the place where God placed you to display His glory. There's nothing I can do about what's going on in Washington, D.C. or overseas. God's placed me here in Longview, Texas. This is it. And what can you do in Longview, Texas? Well, you know what? I can share and I can live a life that honors the Lord here. And be salt and light with the people I come into contact with. We also read angels rejoice in a saved life. Think about this. Jesus said this, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need repentance. Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Did you ever stop to think that angels were present at your birthday? Rejoicing. They look into what God is doing and they are absolutely amazed. We, a lot of times, look at what God is doing and we are so mundane about it. To be born again. To be saved. Come on. What's got your heart this morning? What vexes your heart this morning? What controls your thoughts this morning? What's weighing you down? What's distracting this morning? See, what I pray that we've learned in just these few verses is not just some doctrinal things. They're important. But the greater scope is truly how blessed we are in spite of what's going on in our life. Peter's up front and says, "Hey, I want you to understand something. If you're going to follow Jesus, expect trials. It's a given. It's part of trekking. It's part of sojourning. It's part of being a pilgrim here. But I want you to understand something. You are incredibly blessed and there are people that have gone before you that would have loved to live in the day you're living in. That's a fact." Remember how we started off this morning? Verse 8 and 9, "Whom having not seen you, though now you do see him, yet believing you rejoice with this inexpressible full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. having inexpressible joy based upon what? Being saved. Being saved from what? Well, the curse of sin, the wrath of God, the reality of hell. Remember why we're saved? Because of our Lord's great abundant mercy, verse 3. The salvation we have now in Jesus, prophets inquired, they searched carefully. They shared the grace that was to come. They searched the what and the when. They didn't know fully how. But not only that, the salvation we enjoy, angels are looking into it. We're blessed to be a part of this leg of the journey, no matter what. I'm going to share a short little story that maybe helps drive the point home. In West Texas, there was a famous oil field known as Yates Pool. During the Depression, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man named Mr. Yates. Mr. Yates was not able to make enough money on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on mortgage, so he was in danger of losing his ranch. You ever had financial issues? You know what that's like, right? Nothing you could do about it. Because there's only so much, I know East Texas saying, only so much wood in the wood pile. That's where Mr. Yates was. Day after day as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would be able to pay his bills. Then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told Mr. Yates there might be oil on your land. They asked permission to come into his area. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and they signed a lease. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve, giving 80,000 barrels a day. This is back when you could actually drill, by the way. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, the government test of one of the wells showed that it could still flow 125,000 barrels of oil a day. Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he received oil and mineral rights, yet he was living on relief. A multimillionaire living in poverty, what was the problem? He didn't know oil was there. He owned it, but he didn't possess it. This is like many Christians today who don't realize how blessed they are in Christ. We're just faking it till we're making it. Instead of living in the reality of being a redeemed person, instead of living in the reality of having an inheritance that's incorruptible, instead of living in the reality of what we've been saved from. You're starting to see why this is good news. And if it's good news, have you ever not told anybody good news? And how it pertains to you. You might not tell somebody good news how it pertains to somebody else, but good news and how it pertains to you. What's our problem? We're blessed. And blessed people talk about why they're blessed and how they're blessed. Today, as we're going to finish, we're going to sing songs of praise to our Lord. And I want to encourage you in this. I don't want you to get in a hurry to get out of here. I want you to sit and I want you to soak and allow the Lord to continue to minister unto you the manner in which He wants to. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never come to saving knowledge of who He is, I'd like to share the gospel with you. I'm going to ask you to come back there and talk to me. Or, if you just kind of burn out, run down, you're discouraged, I'd just like to pray with you. I don't need all the gritty details. The Lord knows that. But don't waste this time. You're the bride of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You, and we just ask You continue to minister to us and enrich us in You, Jesus. We're so forever thankful. Amen. 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 We're so